Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey Mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
We will be discussing Season 3, Episode 6, University.
Another really happy episode.
Another really easy episode to watch, just a breeze, no tense moments at all.
We are at the Holy Spirit of the Trinity of
or Holy Ghost for our older listeners.
Old school.
That's old school. Joseph, let's answer it. What did you think was the, most violent and then hardest to watch? Because I think those are two different answers for us given our conversations in the past.
The most violent, I'm going to say, is Toothpick.
Right? Really? Okay. Okay.
I'm going to say that's the most violent between the golf club attack and then
the
Mustang Sally's blood. Murder. Yeah. I'm going to say that was the most violent, but the toughest to watch is. All right. I'm going to say Tracy's tougher. I'm going to say Tracy's murder is tougher because I don't even know why to say this, but it ultimately ends in her death. She's pregnant. Not that that puts any more worth on her than it does Melfi, but somehow I know Jennifer Melfi is strong enough to be okay. She's going to be okay because she is a woman that can handle this. She's a strong woman. Tracy is weak from the moment she comes out. She doesn't know her place in the world. She's compared to Meadow, who's one of the strongest female characters, at least generally in the show. And I mean, she's watching the man that she loves, or at least thinks she loves, attack her and suffers her death at his hands. I mean, yeah, that's the toughest one.
And her age, I think, does play a role in it all. She's so young and she's a young 20. She doesn't even look older than that.
I think she was 19 when she did the role, I think.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong.
This is a fun fact. One of my good friends from grad school, her yoga teacher for years was Arielle Keeley.
Yes. Keeley.
Yeah.
She went on to not much after this. This kind of pulled her away from acting. This was a really tough shoot, really tough role to play. And she kind of went away and it's kind of known amongst the fan that she is a yoga instructor. That's just kind of what she did.
Yeah, I think it sounds like she chose to do that. It wasn't like she tried to be an actor. She was just kind of like, that was good enough for me. I'm out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I would think she would have gotten a lot of work. She's great in this episode. It's not that she's bad.
A wonderful actress. I mean, she's like, I hate to say this about her character because she's dead now, but she's like kind of cringy the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my answers are different. I think this one is the most violent. And I think Melfi's harder to watch. I think it's the crime that's committed, but I guess it's murder's worse. I don't know. It's all really difficult. But then I am, from a gore perspective, was definitely Burt Young's role. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a really hard answer. They're all different and terrifying. And I'm happy this is over. I'm happy this trinity of violence is over.
Yes, and I think David Chase proved his point. It's a lot. He gave the fans what they wanted. And then he, you know, kills it for the rest of season three, honestly. The more and more I look at this season. But the more and more I look at it, I just think about like, yes, this season's good. Season three is fantastic.
Joseph, you shared a fact with me before this that HBO subscribers were very down.
Yes.
Decreased tremendously after this episode.
Yeah, numbers decreased significantly after this. I don't know the exact data, but this episode definitely affected the audience. Now, which is another thing that kind of amazes me, that while maybe perhaps I agree in a sense of because you asked the question, I don't think though that this is that much of a difference from Melfi's rape that I would cancel HBO now. If you can survive watching Lorraine Bracco get raped, especially again, since you know that character and love that character so well, to watch a 20-year-old stranger get murdered on The Sopranos, which is kind of expected more, I don't understand why this would be the episode, but it is tough to watch.
Maybe it was the last straw. Like, this was a third extremely violent episode, and they were just like, I can't. I'm over the show.
It very well could be.
Yeah. Okay, what is your episode summary?
After taking a major step in her relationship with Noah, Meta finds herself single once again, thanks to her negativity and annoying roommate. At the Bing, we are introduced to one of the newest dancers, Tracy. Not understanding boundaries, Tracy tries to be friends with Tony, all the while sleeping with Ralphie. But when she reveals that she is pregnant with Ralphie's child, she suffers an incredibly violent death. The result of which is Ralphie, a made guy, getting punched by Tony. This episode aired on April 1st, 2001.
This episode also had a lot of boobs.
Yeah.
Lots of boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot.
I heard something really interesting about this episode. I distinctly remember this episode, but because this aired before I really started.
Because of the boobs?
No. Before I started watching The Sopranos, this episode had aired. This was before I really started, and then I binged this. And I remember our neighbor saying to our parents, that episode last night of The Sopranos might have been too hard for me to watch. And I don't know why I know it's this episode, but I do. I don't know why she was talking about this one, but she was more referring to the amount of sex in it. Like, it was just like all violent, awful sex, which is true too, which kind of gets overshadowed by the fact that she dies. But I mean, her sex scene with Ralphie is brutal. Even the quick cooker with Tony is a brutal, like, enjoyable sex scene. Like, it's really awful.
Well, none of them are, honestly. But yeah, I see what you mean. It's just they're like have an undertone of violence, roughness to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this aired on April 1st. Do you think this was like supposed to be an April Fool's joke to everybody? Yeah, it's rough. Also, I have a question for you. Okay. Do you think Ralphie knew that he was going to kill Tracy when he just went out there with her in that moment? So you think he killed her by mistake?
No. I think in the journey of the scene, he decided to kill her.
Really?
Or maybe he really didn't. Maybe he really was punching her and threw her and really did not know that she was going to die. But it's really it's the spitting on him that really does it.
I mean, you think? Not that she embarrassed him in front of which is just such, I can't believe she died over that, which is just so ridiculous. But
no, I mean, he was going to go out to deal with her. I mean, he was going to hit her, but no, I don't think his intention was to kill her.
Okay. I'll take it. So
it doesn't excuse him by any means. I mean, he should have just let her go. Let her go.
Of course. No, I think we can agree that he should have left her alone. Okay, on this note, because both of our favorite scenes tie to Tracy, who is not this whole episode. So, you know, it's interesting that we both picked scenes about her. Why don't you go first?
Mine is the scene between her and Tony, Tracy and Tony in the parking lot. I just like the finally Tony kind of gives in to her. I'll allow you to speak. And I think he's very genuinely concerned about her, even though he knows he shouldn't be, because there's this odd employee-employer relationship that he talks about earlier in the episode. And, I, you know, whether or not you agree with his opinion or his views on abortion, he genuinely is concerned. Listen, you don't need this. This is not going to be good for you. Ralphie is not good for you. It's a fatherly moment. He's more of a father to her at that moment than he is through Meadow pretty much all of season three.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
I just really like it. I think it's a nice tender moment. It's really, that's the scene that makes me sad when she's dead. That's what I go back to.
That's an interesting thing too. We're going to talk about a lot of parallels in this episode down our line here. That's another one. A parallel of Tony being a father to Tracy and then obviously a father to Meadow, just maybe not a good one right now, but yeah, it's true. It's a good, so my favorite scene, and I know my favorite scene is weird, but I will explain why. My favorite scene is when they go out to check on Tracy and they see that she's dead.
Okay.
Okay. I found it really interesting that it's almost like Tracy was honored in a Sopranos way, that it's Christopher, Syl, Polly, and Tony are the first people out that door and who were the first people to see that she's dead. Then they all come out and they crowd around. You hear Beansy say, no, Beansy's dead. Who's his twin?
Beansy Spoons? Is not dead. You mean Patsy.
Spoons. Patsy.
Beansy's down in Florida recuperating from being hit by Rich in the car.
Thank you. He says, get a rug. And they all kind of solemnly, like, they come together as a family. And we even see Polly, you know, screams at Ralphie, that's the head of this family you're talking to Ralphie, when Tony punches Ralphie and Ralphie's screaming back at Tony. It's, oh, oddly, it's a family affair where they all need to kind of crowd around and go, we all know this dead body's here. We all need to deal with it. And you kind of see them all fall into rank and they execute. Now, we weirdly have said our family goes into execution mode when someone dies. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they kind of have a family moment where we need to deal with this right now. Let's come together. We all know our ranks, do it. And it's like a, you kind of think, okay, they're going to take care of this. Not that they can save Tracy, but it's interesting. And then I'm happy that Tony's so mad at Ralphie and he goes after him. That's satisfying. Though he's a made guy or whatever. Tony's not supposed to touch him.
I don't know if I agree with that interpretation. I think you're giving a lot of credit to the other guys when it's really Tony that feels that way. I think Tony punches Ralphie, obviously, because of Tracy. But I do think that it's the rest of them. You know, when Tony says you disrespect it, this place, and that's his cover up because he doesn't want to look sentimental. I think the rest of the guys actually think you're defending the Bing. I don't know if I feel like they're defending Tracy. No, because I'll give you
I
one of the.
Say, hold on. I didn't say that they were defending Tracy. I actually.
Honoring her.
No, I think it's the meta way of the Sopranos honoring the character of Tracy. That's what I mean by that. That the four of them were the ones to go out there first. Oh, that's okay. What I mean by that.
It is. I will say. It's kind of funny and it's not, it shouldn't be. But I do chuckle when I think Tony, Paulie says something like he disrespected you, something. And Tony goes, this girl was what, 20? And Paulie goes, that too.
That too, I know. It is.
Which
it,
kind of I think, is why I see it that way. Like, I don't think he gets it. I don't think he understands what he did. One other thing that I just want to ask, no one knows she's pregnant but Ralphie and Tony, right?
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption that no one else knows.
Yeah. The sound editing, by the way, of the sound of a punch in the stomach, I think the sound was purposely exaggerated.
Because of her pregnancy?
Yeah. And I don't know if that was a choice I liked. I think that might have been a little much.
Too much.
Too much, but
I hear you.
It served a purpose. But let's move on to some different things. What's your favorite quote?
Favorite quote. When Polly says, when Syl says to Tracy, let's go, Betty Crocker, when she's trying to give Tony the bread.
Let's go, Betty Crocker.
I also, in hindsight, it's tough because you know that she's dead and she dies very violently. But when Tony says, you need another kid, like you need a hole in your head. Like, good line delivery there. Okay, Ralphie screaming at the Kirk Douglas movie, right?
Kirk Douglas, yes.
When he says,
look at Kirk Douglas's fucking hair. They didn't have flat tops in ancient Rome.
This is really, really good. And then I also had the 20-year-old, this girl, that too. Mm. I had that, but then it does cut to Meadow right away and you think you know she's what 18 19 18, I guess. So it's hard to, it makes it more difficult to watch because you think, oh, you know, not that it could have been Meadow, but you know, it could be any 20-year-old girl in New Jersey or whatever, and it's sad.
I think it's the whole point of the episode. It could be any,
it could be
where you're born, what you're born into.
Ugh.
I only had two for this one. My favorite by far is also Silvio.
Man, I'm running ragged here. If I wanted to work 18 hours a day, I could get a job at Denny's.
Like they'd fucking hire him.
That's just great.
It is.
And then I got to give a shout out to my boy Paulie for doing the...
Oh, look at that. It's like an ad for a fucking weight loss center. Before and way before.
This guy ever stopped breaking balls.
And Joseph, is Bobby still in the fat suit?
Still in the fat suit.
Okay, so that's still...
still okay. In the fat suit.
Very nice.
He's getting fatter, though.
He is getting fatter. The fat
suit is smaller.
He's totally... Like, he looks... I mean, I guess it's for that scene. They both look just giant. I'm sorry.
No, but his face is getting fatter. Like, he's gaining weight.
He's gaining weight as an actor.
And the fat suit's getting smaller.
We had a tough go of this, the theme of the episode. I think you might have just said it. It's kind of the luck of the draw a lot has, I believe that we have power over our destiny a little bit, but it really, a lot of our lives are going to be, you know, dependent on how we, where we're born and our families. And you hear a little bit about Tracy's family and that she has mental health issues because her mom put her hand on the stove, right? Like, I think it's around, we're all affected by our families and our upbringings. And look at the two or three, right? Caitlin, Meadow, and Tracy. Look at the three different paths people can take. You know, same women in America that are around 20, right? I think that's the theme.
That's not what I had, but in hindsight, yes, I'm going to go with yours. I do want to mention, though, that I think there's something about men and how very often our success is connected to the failure of women. That that as men being, you know, what we believe is the superior gender, that sometimes we push down women. I mean, let's face it, isn't that what history has shown that? That's what we do. And I think this episode really does do that. I mean, Noah, Tony, and Ralphie, all three of them push down women to become more powerful in this episode or to achieve something in this episode. And so I think, yes, what you said is right, but I think that's connected to it in this episode as more of a historical reminder of the lack of gender equality in the world. That's what I would say.
Interesting. And I noticed something too. So the opening song is The Kinks, Living on a Thin Line. And rarely The Sopranos does this. It closes the episode too. It's the same song.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore.
And this is played as we pan around all the men at the bar waiting for women who will become their lost battles. It's an interesting, I liked that. And that's rare again. It's interesting. Okay, Joseph, symbolism.
I don't have a lot.
No, this was just kind of I mean, for me, it's the ton and back and forth in the parallel between Meadow and Tracy and Caitlin and, again, showing the different roads women can take in New Jersey or New York, right? But
yes.
Otherwise, I couldn't think of any. I didn't notice any, like, really big symbols. You said you had a few, though.
I have two. I have two. But then, yes, I mean, we should go through the parallels. We have a lot on that. But date bread, which is what she gives him, is what's considered a quick bread.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a little bit of a stretch, but her life is quick in this episode. Like, I don't know.
I don't think that's a stretch.
She's giving her bread. There's got to be something with bread. There's a, you know, we're always, food is always symbolism in the show.
Well, food and violence. And she gives food and it's, yeah.
I also, can I just not symbolic, but why can't he just take the bread?
I agree. I don't think it's weird to bring your employer bread you work. Like, if I gave my boss bread I baked at home, I think she'd go, oh, wow, thank you so much. This was so nice. I don't think that's employer-employee relationship thing.
Let's face it. If she wasn't with Ralphie, she probably would sleep with Tony at least once. So he can't take bread from her?
I agree with you. I think that's very weird. Also, why bread? Maybe he wants some cupcakes. Like, go with the sweets. You know, like I just find it odd that bread. Is it like there's a bun in the oven? Is it like bread?
No,
I don't think so. I think this quick bread thing is way more in line.
And the other one is, you know, Ralphie believes he was going to be an architect, which is funny all in itself. But, you know, an architect builds things, and Ralphie's entire character has done nothing but destroy things.
I love this one. So. It's really interesting.
But
okay. So I think a lot of the symbolism is this parallel. Yeah. A lot of them. So go for it. And then I have things to add.
Have we said the third character? Have we made that clear that it's her roommate?
Caitlin. Yeah.
Caitlin.
Yeah.
So I just have, I'm just going to rattle off a few. So Tony being nice to Tracy at first, but then of course kind of dismisses her. Like, he's very nice and then dismisses her. Noah saying, let's be patient with Caitlin. And then of course he has a restraining order against her. And then Ralphie cares about the baby. He or at least pretends to. We'll name it after me. We'll name it after you. I mean, so we have these three men that basically pull the women in and then dismiss them and destroy them. Mm. We have Caitlin exposing herself to things that upset her too much. We have Tracy choosing to work at the Bing and date Ralphie. So she's making, maybe choosing to work at the Bing, that might be a necessity.
No, hold on a second. She herself says during this episode, you know, there's plenty of strip joints around here who would employ me. So maybe she feels stuck to be a stripper right now in her life, but the Bing itself, not necessary.
Correct. And to be with Ralphie is a choice too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Meadow choosing to stay with Noah, even after he shows his true colors. I mean, she should dump him when he says, I have a restraining order against Caitlin.
So weird.
Yeah.
A restraining order because you got a C minus or whatever it was?
I'm going to save this for the end because I have an unanswerable question about that whole situation too.
Okay.
Okay,
interesting.
Hold on to that one.
I'm excited about that.
The whole dentist, Meadow going to the dentist, Tracy gets braces. Clearly that's a parallel. It's connecting these two characters. Also, teeth in dreams always symbolizes lack of control.
Okay.
So I think that's the teeth thing.
Interesting.
I do love, there's a lot of good cuts.
Yeah.
In this episode, Tracy walks towards a door, and then we immediately see Meadow walking through a door.
Yep.
So we, you know, definitely, they really want to make sure we get it.
Yes.
Very similar to Fortunate Son, where it was Jackie, AJ, and Tony and Chris.
Yep, these are like the girls' episodes. Yeah. Yep. The young girls. Yep. Women, young women.
Caitlin is upset, I think overly, about Meadow not calling. Even though I don't think she's that wrong, like, I kind of feel like all my college roommates, if you weren't going to show up all night, I would have called. I would have said, hey, listen, don't worry. But I mean, she's being a little too much. But then the connection is Silvio, in a legit moment, scolds Tracy for not calling her kid. You have a kid at home and you've been here. Like, there is that, like, you should be checking in with
like
people.
Meadow and Tracy both didn't call people they should have. Yeah.
Right. There another cut, you know, I mean, it's this really awful moment when she's going down on the cop and
Tracy is, and
he makes a stupid comment about her braces. And then immediately we think it's her head coming up, but it's Caitlin who's been crying to really on Noah. I know Meadow's there, but if you really look, it's like she's going down on Noah. Tony hesitantly talks to Tracy about the pregnancy. Like, you can tell he's uncomfortable, but he does. And it's kind of the same way Noah hesitantly allows Caitlin to come in to, quote, study.
Okay, in his room. Right.
In his room. Noah's restraining order, I'm sorry, with his father's restraining order, is very similar to Tony not wanting to be close to Tracy. And then even Tony trying to keep Meadow and Noah apart.
Right.
Right? All these men are trying to keep women away from something. And then, you know, another cut, Tracy gets killed by a dumpster, and then we immediately cut to this beautiful contrasting library, the outside of this beautiful building, the privilege that Meadow has that she doesn't appreciate. And then Meadow's dumped.
In the beautiful library.
Yep. dumped.
I have a few adds to this. So Meadow starts to make out with Noah after we know they already had sex. And then the camera cuts to Tracy almost completely naked in front of Tony. Like, it's just, it's just another cut where you're like thinking about the girls and what situations they're in.
Yeah.
It's just kind of strange. I don't know. Maybe that's not a parallel. Just like that was a weird cut to me.
No, no, I think that's absolutely a parallel because they're both exposing their bodies to these men that they want to get attention from, whatever kind of attention it is. I mean, whether it's I want my boyfriend to love me, which, by the way, I don't think Meadow's having sex with Noah because she feels pressured or anything. I truly think they have sex. She loses her virginity. I think she likes him. I think he likes her. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything ill-willed in that exchange. It's college. They have sex.
No, I don't think so either. I have to agree with you there, though. I hate Noah. So this isn't really a parallel to the girls, or I keep saying girls, they're women, they're over 18. Tony wanting to stay away from Tracy because he quotes this whole like employee-employer relationship. And then when they're all at the Soprano house having Sunday, I assume Sunday brunch or dinner, Tony says, next time, when Jackie says Dino Zarilli is out in the car. And you get the feel it's the same reason. Like, Jackie's allowed in the house because he's Jackie, but, like, don't mix Tony's work and work right now. Like, don't let that guy come in here. I assume Dino is someone who works for him in the crew.
Well, no. Dino is the guy who he took to the robbery in Fortunate Son. And I think that's
even
part of it.
Okay, sure. Even so.
So, yes.
Yeah.
You're right, but he doesn't want to be reminded that Jackie broke that rule.
Gotcha.
But yes, I agree with you.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, what does the title mean?
Well, they both get an education.
I hate it. You mean they both, you mean Meadow and Tracy.
Yeah, and Caitlin. They all get an education. They all learn about the world.
I hate it. Okay, also, I feel like this is a nod to the parallel to college.
Sure.
And now Meadow had sex, so she graduated in some way to something that sounds more prestigious, like university.
What is the difference between a college and a university?
Okay, I believe it's that a university has colleges within it and is a research institution and has graduate degrees or a certain amount of graduate degrees it offers, whereas a college is undergrad.
I think you're right.
Okay, I'm Googling it. It says colleges and universities primarily differ in program offerings and degree types. University refers to larger institutions both offering both undergraduate and graduate programs. College refers to community colleges, technical schools, and liberal arts colleges.
So you and I both went to college. So are we less than...
No, I don't think it's less than... I don't know. I actually... When I wrote this note that university sounds more prestigious, I just think it does.
Yes.
It's not a crazy thing, but I don't think that's actually like true. I just think the sound of it is different.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about AJ now as we talk to our about most valuable?
Yeah, Goomba? I think it's AJ or Dino.
Or Ralphie.
Oh, okay. It's Meadow.
It's got to be Meadow.
It's absolutely Meadow. I have a bone to pick.
Pick it.
I'm going to pick this bone. Do you think it's weird that Noah's dad doesn't say three words to Meadow at dinner when she meets him and then ask her what her father does for a living?
No, that's exactly what this episode's about. He doesn't find her valuable. And the question he asks is about a man.
Wait, that makes my blood boil. If I met my boyfriend's dad and that was the first question he asked me about myself, I'd be like, what? I would be so like, what? Not what's your major? Where are you from? What is your dad? I'd be like, none of your business right now. I met you 5 seconds ago. Also, he doesn't ask what her mom does for a living either. It's her dad.
Well, that's because he already knows what Tony does for a living.
Okay, so that's why I asked. I think that is a better reason. Do you think so?
Of course.
That's his way of showing her that Noah's told me that your dad's in the mob
Yes.
Okay.
And I gotta tell you, I think Noah likes it.
That he's in the mob?
No, he likes that his father did that to her. Like, put her on the spot.
Oh, my God. Because
your father did it to me, so now that's his father's revenge. You want to talk about my son being black? I'm going to talk about your father being a criminal.
Oh, okay.
And see how you do it. And see you know what?
Okay, that makes it a little better that if he's defending his son, I can forgive it a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. If we pulled this shit, something that made us go, oh my God, that's us.
Tony looking at AJ about answering the door.
I didn't even notice this.
Oof.
What? Explain.
Tony, AJ answered the door, and I don't even know if AJ says something or he hesitates, like why the fuck should I answer the door kind of thing. And Tony looks at him with a look. And listen, I mean, I would have answered the door. Like, I'm not saying I've ever been in this situation, but we know mom and dad have a stare.
Oh, yeah.
And we terrifying. Talk about mom. We talk about mom, but dad's stare
was good. They both have it. Oh, yeah, for sure. When AJ says so fat, P-H-A-T, right. Like, that was a word we said. Isn't that weird?
Meadows saying, like, you have a clue to her father.
She started pulling her hair out last night because she saw a scary movie. She does it all the time now. Her scalp is, like, all raw.
Oh, my God.
Nothing a straitjacket wouldn't cure.
Sorry, I forgot. It's Mr. Sensitivity who doesn't have any problems of his own.
I'm agreeing with you.
Like, you have a clue.
If you ever said that to him.
I just couldn't. I couldn't. I can't ever picture myself talking to our dad like that. So Caitlin says, I just miss my ferret. And I have to say that my sorority big in college had a ferret in the dorms, and his name was Oscar.
Was that allowed?
No, it smelled so bad.
Oh.
And then a snake too in the room. It was fun.
Oh, that's
awful.
They
were fun. Well, they are fun. I mean, still one of my best friends.
I have to ask, and this is, you know, I don't want to have this conversation with you for too long, but did you tell mom about the first time you had sex the way Meadow does?
Meadow, are you in love with this boy?
I don't know. I guess so. I mean, at this point, it better be.
At what point? What does that mean?
Sorry, but we are so not having that conversation.
Not the way Meadow does. I am not answering this question. Move on.
which is kind of very similar to what Meadow says.
No, but Meadow's, okay, so but Meadow's rude about it. Like, she like brings it up with her mom and then says like, we're so not going there. I was like, well, why did you say anything? Like, it's like she wants to talk about it, but then she, it's like mean.
Well, that was her way of, look, I'm telling you, but no, I'm not. That's it. We're done.
I didn't like that. I thought that was, like, if you're going to open up to your mom at 2 a.m., it's 2 a.m., like, Carmel is sleeping, and then you're going to, like, lay in bed with her and then be mean about it? Like, I don't know. True. It was weird. I didn't like that. Would you ever come home on a Friday afternoon in college if you only had morning classes? I would be sleeping before going out. I'd be napping.
See, for me, Friday night was not a huge party night. It was Thursday night.
Okay, we did Tuesday, Friday, Saturday.
So ours was Thursday, Saturday. I think that was it.
Really?
I think.
Were you just
I don't really remember.
Were you just a
it's
little
been a
nerdy?
Long time.
Were you just a little nerdy?
No, I went to parties. Yeah.
No, we were every Tuesday and every Friday and Saturday.
But would I go home on a Friday afternoon?
Right. Wouldn't you like be sleeping or like hanging out and enjoying yourself? Like, I feel like it's a relaxation time.
Well, I'm gonna defend Meadow here. I get the feeling she's home all weekend. So yeah, I would come home Friday afternoon if I was planning on spending the weekend home, because her whole big thing isn't this when Noah's not there? Oh, no, that hasn't happened yet. I'm wrong. Yeah, it is a little weird that she having a boyfriend and being just having sex. You'd think she'd want to just stay and have sex with her boyfriend.
Gross. But yeah, you're right.
But yeah. All right. You're right. It's weird. Would you ever hold a glass out to mom?
When like you mean when Meadow's at the table and just holds her glass out? That was That's just like a weird social.
Yeah.
No, I would never do that. That is crazy.
I don't even think AJ would do that.
AJ makes a face like, what the fuck?
But is this supposed to be like, I'm a woman now?
Sure, but is that
so? My mother should serve me orange juice.
Weird. Is it orange juice? Is that a symbol?
Actually, I think it was apple juice.
Oh,
but I could be wrong.
Do we even know what it was? The glass was empty.
No, but I think we see her drink it. I think it was apple juice.
Okay.
And I think I'm right because I think I when I watch it, I go, well, I could go for some apple juice.
Wait, what?
Because I like apple juice. So I think when I watch it, I go, oh, I could go for some apple juice.
Okay. Back to this college. A lot of college ones here. Both Caitlin and Meadow's beds were perfectly made in the scene where Meadow came home and Caitlin was like, where were you? You should have called. Never. Maybe my bed was made. Maybe my roommate's bed was. Never were they both perfectly made. That's ridiculous. No college dorm looks like that.
I made my bed every morning.
Oh my God, that surprises me zero.
Every morning.
I think I might have made my bed like properly, like tucked in all the sheets like that, and like perfectly, maybe 5 times.
I made my bed before I peed.
The fuck is wrong with
you? I got up, made the bed, and then went to the bed.
You know you're sick, right? You know it.
And if it wasn't for the fact that I get up before my wife, I would make the bed right away too.
Okay. Yeah,
it drives her nuts that I make the bed so quickly.
That's a special one, Joseph.
They say you should make the bed every day because it makes you feel you have one accomplishment a day. You made the bed.
You're completely right. But before you pee, like that.
Yeah.
That's the part that's a little wild.
Well, then why would I go all the way in the bathroom, then come all the way out?
Because
there, the bed's there.
Okay. I know where I get a lot of myself now, like my type A. And I'm not, again, I'm the calm one. That's just crazy.
God, is there nothing to eat in this house? The fuck?
Her head should have gone through that fridge. But she's upset. That I feel like was like a normal teenage outburst and not like the glass holding was way weirder than that. I don't think I'd ever yell that in our house, but that felt more like she was just frustrated and she wanted to yell something. I don't think that was as bad.
You know
what
would have been really great if Tony said, yeah, there's some fucking date bread in the back.
Good parallel that would have been.
Yeah.
That's good. So Meadow wears red jeans, and we all had different colored jeans at this time. And it lasted for a while.
When you say we, you mean women, right? I didn't have different colored jeans.
Yeah, this was a thing. Yep.
Okay.
And I just want to say, if a guy ever broke up with me in a library, there would be a scene. They're so calm. You know he does it in a library, so she can't yell at him. And then he says, are you really that surprised? Like, we clearly hate Noah, but she really just sits there and they just go back to studying. People would be talking about our breakup and because I'd be screaming in the quiet library, screaming at him.
I'm trying to think of where was my worst breakup. I don't know.
I feel like I was broken up privately. Library. Right. Like a normal person. So you could yell at each other or cry or whatever. He does it in a library and then they just go to back to studying.
That's the part that kills me. She should have walked out.
Right.
Walk out.
Oh, whatever. I thought that, whatever. Cannolis.
Okay. All right. I'm going to preface this right now. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, fine. But if you do know what I'm talking about, follow me on this journey, listeners.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
Listeners, I got one word for you. Horse. There's a lot of shit in this episode about a horse. If you're going, what the fuck does that mean? Fine. You'll know soon. But think about it for a minute if you've watched this whole series. Horse. Here we go. Let me crack my knuckles for this one. I'm going to show you where the horse bit me. And boom, Tracy appears. Tony says those words and boom, Tracy appears. And then he ignores her. Ralphie's awful sex scene with her. He actually kind of like slaps her on the side a little bit like a horse. Okay. Silvio says her teeth are choppers. Caitlin goes to visit her horse farm. Ralphie wants Tracy to move faster and he slaps her not in the ass, on the side. Like, go faster to get my Fresca or whatever.
Silvio also calls her a thoroughbred.
Yes. Tracy is a horse.
Yep. I'm following you for this one. Sometimes I don't. This one I get.
And I have to say, I kind of don't even like to include the Caitlin thing because I thought that was a sloppy way of putting the word horse in the episode because it's the only thing that it's not involved Tracy, but it was there. So I'm going to add it in. But everything else is about Tracy. Yep. Tracy is a horse. That's all. That's it.
Okay.
Tracy's a horse. Nay.
I hate that so much. Okay. Ralphie saying, "We're all dead men," after Gigi said that he wouldn't be surprised if Ralphie was found in a trunk one day. There's a deep, deep shit going on right there.
AJ, call Lindsay Blundetto. Tony Blundetto is Tony's cousin in season 5.
Yes. Steve Buscemi.
Or is that just an error? Like, is that we like that name, we're going to use it. We liked it so much, we're going to use it again?
No, is it like his sister? It could be someone in that family.
I don't think so. We never meet a Lindsay. And there's so? Kind of mention of like a long lost daughter. And it's not, that's not her name.
Listen, we could say Augie April, right? We could say Lindsay Blue Blondetto.
What the fuck is that? Who's Augie April?
It really bothers you. Well, Lindsay's in that camp. Lindsay dates Augie somewhere in a parallel universe.
And then Meadow refers to the tradition of Meadow and Carmela going to the plaza to eat underneath the painting of Eloise, which there's an entire episode in the future called Eloise. So,
and Meadow mentions that there's going to be a movie made about it, which was made, and it stars Julie Andrews.
That's an interesting little tidbit. Poppins. Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah,
back and forth. Back and forth.
You go.
Ralphie is still talking about Gladiator.
And hurts.
A lot. And what?
What's his name? What hurts the bartender? What's his name?
Georgie. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts George. Him over not seeing it.
Why isn't Chris in season 3?
Yo, he's like really not. And he has so many one-liners and good moments, but he really doesn't. You're right. You're absolutely right. He's in a handful of scenes at this point.
He's not in the Trinity of Violence.
No. I mean, he's in it, but yeah, moments. Not. But yeah, I know.
But some of the best moments, by the way. In fact, I believe for Employee of the Month, he was in our favorite scene.
Yes.
One of our favorite scenes we're talking about. Like, he's great.
Oh, well, but he's always great. He's always great. Why did Ralphie kiss Gigi on the lips and then Gigi like didn't punch him in the face?
Because I'm a main guy. That's why. You can't punch him in the face.
Dude, that was weird.
Georgie knows his place. What's he going to do?
But why did Ralphie kiss him on the lips?
Well, he is in Richie's crew.
Right. Here we go. It's late. It's late for you.
It's a little. Well, I don't want to say anything. We'll let that go. Let's call that a cannoli.
Okay, fine. There you go. That's great.
There we go. I have a question. Georgie, when he's negotiating with the stripper about coming into the VIP room, you know, it's $50 now, a blowjob later. I mean, it's totally degrading. I get it. But he says,
"You know you're going to make at least half a G in there."
She's only going to make $500? That's it?
I think that's low, too.
Well, and he says it in a way, like, half a G sounds like a lot. It's like when someone says, "Oh, it's been a quarter of an hour." That's 15 minutes. It's really not a lot. You can say it. any way you want. But
maybe she's only allowed in there for an hour. Like,
maybe.
And $500 for an hour is a lot of money.
I guess, but basically he's charging her 10% to come in.
Yeah.
That's where the 50 comes from. Really, it's very weird. And
Georgie's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We had another funny sibling moment. Janice is not in this episode, but she calls Tony about the fuse box. And like kind of another person who needs a boyfriend to help her. Like Meadow suggests about Caitlin.
Hmm.
Which I feel like is a little bit of a cannoli on Janice's front.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Janice at some point is going to have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
You mean she's going to get over her long lost love, Richie?
Yeah, I think she's going to get over that.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, she already was engaged. Right now, for all we know, she's still engaged to the 19-year-old kid. So
he can go all night.
He can go all night. Yeah.
He can't, though.
No.
This is a weird timeline thing that really bothers me, and it has bothered me for 20 years.
Okay.
Carmela tells Meadow, in that scene you were referring to where they're laying together in bed, and she tells Meadow that Jackie Jr. says hello, which I know we're supposed, you know, that's a cannoli. We're supposed to, like, we get these little glimpses of these two, but you've already seen Meadow. Why are you telling her now? She sees Meadow since the Jackie says hello.
Because she's talking about Nella. And she wants to tell her that Jackie and insert the thought of Jackie Jr. in that moment to Meadow, who's like clearly having boy troubles.
So you think Carmela likes the idea of Meadow and.
Yes, absolutely. Jackie. She has no reason not to right now.
Okay.
Or ever. I don't really know if ever, but like, why would Carmela not want Jackie and Meadow together? He's handsome. He's in school. He's Rosalie's son. Like, they're like, fucking, they would arrange this marriage if they could with these two.
Yeah, but he's a mobster's son. I think Carmela doesn't want Meadow to end up like her.
But Jackie, hold on. No, but Jackie's not involved. Tony's trying to Tony's trying to keep Jackie out of it. And Carmela knows that.
Okay. But I think Carmela is smart enough to know that Jackie is not a straight arrow.
Neither is her husband. So just.
But she knows, that's my point. She knows that. And she does not want Meadow. Carmela's biggest fear is that Meadow is just going to marry a mobster.
Okay.
I don't know. It just felt like weird. And
I don't know if I agree with you.
The timeline got fucked up.
The timeline got fucked up.
That's a Silvio quote.
Yes.
Eventually. Not yet. It's a good. That's going to be my spoiler alert.
That's a funny
one. When he says that, it's going to be my favorite line of that episode.
You're next. Oh, no, I'm next. Right? The line where Noah says from Crossroads High School about his friend Josh coming to visit, is that his high school? Isn't that a weird way to refer to your own high school? Wouldn't you just say, oh, my friend Josh from high school is coming?
Yes, but it's Crossroads High School. Is like a California, very rich, a lot of celebrities' kids go there. And I think that's his way of like if I was a Harvard graduate, I'd fit that into every conversation I could ever have.
Oh.
I think he's, yeah.
Oh, he peaked
in high school and he's trying to tell us.
Okay. I'm trying. Okay, great. Thank you. I thought that was weird and that makes sense. Because Noah's, I don't know if you know this, I hate him.
Yeah, I know. It is another interesting cut. And it's, I mean, probably the worst we've ever seen Silvio is where he hits Tracy and holds her to the car. But Ralphie laughing is actually worse. It's kind of hard to top beating a woman on a car and holding her there and saying the things, disgusting thing he's saying to her. But Ralphie tops it with the laughter. But then to cut him laughing at a dinner party, like normal couples.
I mean,
talk about the duality of life. That might be the best cut in the whole
episode. And we had so many good cuts.
Right.
This whole episode is cuts. The whole thing. Meadow saying she paged me. She's at her parents.
Yeah.
And then Noah's dad having his own DVD player on the plane. Technology did not age well. It's funny.
Speaking of which, Noah's father represents Tim Daly, the guy from Wings. he later will come on as a recurring role. I think he does like a good 5-6 episodes.
Isn't that a cannoli?
Well, no, but he doesn't play Tim Daly.
Oh, it's just meta. Okay, gotcha. It's meta.
It's meta.
It's a meta cannoli.
It's a meta cannoli.
That's like a cannoli with the chocolate chips on the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good. All right. Georgie training the new girl in his way, you know, the $50, blah, blah, blah. It just shows that this is the ending scene. And when the song's playing again, blah, blah, blah. It shows that we're just kind of going to go back to normal next episode. Like nothing happened, which is like a tough ending. It's like, it makes you kind of like realize you were holding your breath and the ending credits go and you go,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the girl even says, I heard she went outside with Ralphie, never came back. You keep that to yourself. Like she warns her.
Don't talk about that. Right. It ends.
I am going to end this episode with a question.
And this is what you were talking about before? Like the teasing?
Did Noah have sex with Caitlin?
No.
It's a theory out there. It's on the forums.
It's on the forums. Okay, wait. So the whole. Okay, so.
On the Reddit? On the Reddit?
On the Reddit. So. Talk to me why this is even a question, because she goes into his dorm room. You think they just have sex and that's why he gets the C-.
She's very happy. You can tell she's very happy, like, to see him. And maybe there's a little jealousy, like, I wish I had what Meadow has. And he's a guy and he's stupid and he has sex with her. And yeah, and that's his. And the restraining order is actually a way of, I'm going to get her out of the picture so that, you know. I don't want her and Meadow friends anymore. So I'm going to keep Meadow here. I'm going to try to get rid of her.
Yeah, but he breaks up with Meadow.
Yeah, eventually. I don't know. Listen, it's not my theory, but I do think Noah's smart enough to know how to write the damn paper. So I don't know if he'd really be distracted by Caitlin or if it was, I didn't have time because I was busy getting on with Caitlin.
Okay.
Listen. Like I said, it's on the forums. It's in the chat rooms.
Okay.
I just know that there's discussion out there. I don't know if I buy it, but I think it's worth talking about.
Someone's
away message is, do you think Noah had sex with Caitlin?
Right. Okay, what was your best away message? Were you a song lyrics person or were you like BRD?
I have a musical theater degree.
Like yes, your away strong. Messages were like, I'm mad at this person, so I'm going to put like lyrics from, I don't know.
Good job.
That was really great. That was rough. Okay. My bad.
No, I don't really remember. Yes, but it always meant something. It was always passive aggressive.
Yeah. That's what they were for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid. It was stupid.
All of it was stupid. But you know what? It's worse today.
Did you still have it in college?
No.
It was done by the time you were in college.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have AOL in college.
My college was like prime AIM away message time.
Anytime someone came into your room on your list, it was Kramer walking into a room in the room.
That's right. That's right.
Because I knew that sound before I saw that episode in Seinfeld and went, holy shit, that's what that sound is. Yep.
That's right. That's right. Because everyone, the standard was the sound of a door opening and you could change it.
Right. Which I feel like not everyone knew what to do. You knew all the tricks in the AIM.
I didn't have a lot of friends. I was very bored. Just.
All right, well, that was an interesting end to our episode. Really intriguing. Overall, did you like this episode?
Yeah, it's probably one of the best episodes of the series. Right?
Whoa. Okay.
Top 10? Top 15?
No, this is not top 15 for me.
Top 20. I'm going to say top 20.
Okay.
Solid top 20.
We're going to have to rank them at the end of all this.
Oh, listen. Sure. Episode 86. Expect that. Obviously, it's going to be a long episode. And that's going to be a two-parter.
Yeah, maybe it's a bonus episode where we're just going to rank them.
Or we could do a Sopranos episode draft where we each have to pick our five, but we can't pick each other's.
Ooh.
Yeah, we could do that.
10.
Jesus, you're okay. Tough.
All right. Thanks to our listeners for analyzing.
Better ending. Was that a better ending than talking about AIM?
No.
Good, I fixed it.
All right, thanks to our listeners for analyzing University with us. That's all from us for now. Talk to you soon when we discuss the next episode, Season 3, Episode 7, Second Opinion. This has been The Sibling Sit Down. Thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please remember to like or follow the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. So you never forget about it.